practicing meditation and mindfulness allows you to be yourself, be in the world and see everything. It's amazing how much we miss. So much beauty, so much fun, so many opportunities that we miss because we're moving so quickly in our own heads.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Valberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Alana Cahoon. Alana, how are you today?
Hi, Ben. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm excited to be having this conversation with you. You teach things that I kind of dabble in, so I'm totally just like here to learn. Because you're the owner of Grow to Be You. You're a mindfulness coach. You're an author. And you tell us what do you do for a living, Alana? How do you help people?
Well, I've put all of my creative and healing and business acumen all together in a bucket. And so I'm a mindfulness coach. I help people to bring balance into their lives. It's personal development and professional development.
Which I love. It's funny. I feel the same way in my business that like I'm a music guy, a podcast guy. I'm an introvert, so I like to dive deep and really like get to know, like dissect things. And I took all this and I created this podcast marketing company where, it's like me and this is you. So let's talk a little bit about your background, because to my understanding, you were very mindful well before you ever decided to coach it. It's just within you. So talk a little bit about your background and kind of what led you up to this day.
Sure. Yeah. So I actually have a degree in theater and I used to write poetry as a teenager. When I was very young, I asked to go to a Catholic school. So I went to a Catholic school for 6 years. So I've always been drawn to the spiritual aspect of life and very creative. So then I moved to New York City. And actually, before I moved to New York, I started transcendental meditation, became a vegetarian, just got really into the whole holistic world. Then moved to New York and was an aspiring actress, singer, songwriter, did lots of fun stuff on Off-Broadway and sang jazz and alternative rock. But my go-to was the New York Open Center. It was a holistic learning center. And there I just immersed myself with meditation and Eastern philosophy. I was learning about acupuncture and acupressure and all kinds of fun stuff. So never thought that it was anything other than, you know, my personal, I wouldn't call it a hobby, but joy, passion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nowadays it's more than just a personal joy or passion. You teach this. And I'm wondering, I want to get into some actionable steps, but first I want to get to know Alana and just what does this do for you? Like, and you have a lot of experience, so you have long-term data in your life of how this can change and shift mindsets. Tell me about your experience. Like what effect has mindfulness had on you in your life?
Right. It brings clarity to your mind and purpose to your life. And so for me especially, and I love teaching this, is to create an awareness that becomes an acute awareness of your environment. Because when you are fully present in the moment and aware of everything, when something doesn't feel right, when you start feeling uncomfortable, you can actually discern what it is. What is the root source? And then you can choose how you respond to that. And it may be, it's just time to leave. You know, this place doesn't feel right. And I showed up and it's time to go. Or it may be something is poking a past trauma, or and sometimes trauma sounds like a, you know, a vicious statement. It doesn't have to be. It can be something that just happened that rubbed you the wrong way. And it's awakening that, saying, oh yeah, that happened. And I feel like it's going to happen again. So how am I going to respond to it this time? does that answer the question, Ben?
It does. I guess to elaborate a little bit more, using these, and you don't have to get deep into every one of your traumas. We've all been through so much pain, but how has this helped you? Have you found just more energy? Have you found more financial success, more spiritual success, relationship? Like what kind of benefits have you personally been a beneficiary of?
Yeah. Inner peace and outer joy. And so that phrase to me says it all. And finding inner peace and outer joy in all those aspects of our life, right? To me, there's three aspects of life. There's the professional, our business, whether we're entrepreneurs, we work in an office, we teach, we, I don't know, make pancakes in the morning, whatever that is, to be able to go there and feel good, just to be joyous and feel good, not stressed out. So it's the opposite of stress. In our personal lives, just being by ourselves, being comfortable in our own skin. You know, when something hurts, to not beat yourself up for it, but say, okay, what is that? What's causing that, right? Or if you realize your clothes don't fit anymore, find an activity that you like. You know, don't force yourself to go to a gym that you're not going to enjoy. Find something that serves you, that actually brings you joy. Yeah, so that's profession, your personal, and then your family and your relationships. Those can be a lot of, you know, there can be a lot of triggers there, especially in family, because you're growing. Ideally, we're all evolving as we mature, and we don't always grow alongside each other, right? We take different paths, and it's being okay with that. Again, to find your peace. It's funny, this morning I was doing a meditation and this beautiful message came to me, because I shared with you earlier, I'm building this online course. It's going to be a live online course. And it's called, go ahead.
I just wanted you to dive in, because you shared this with me before we clicked record. So I wanted to make sure we definitely dived in and talked about this course, but go on. Yeah.
So it's relative, because the name of the course is Being in Balance. And I said to my husband yesterday, I said, all right, I'm creating this course, Being in Balance. And I'm all stressed out about it, because I'm like, you know, like, oh no, what if I do it wrong? And, you know, all this perfectionism and stuff that I help people to manage, I'm going through myself.
Yes.
So this morning, it was very clear. This beautiful message was, the being in balance is about three things, three ways of being. And that is being clear, being calm, and being compassionate. Clear, calm, and compassionate. And with not only others in our lives and situations, but with ourselves. We almost have to reverse it and say, okay, let's be clear with ourselves. What are our needs? How are we feeling? What's important today? You know, and be calm regardless of the situation, and offer that compassion to yourself and everything. Cause life is just going to change. And we're living in such uncertainty now in the past, you know, nearly 2 years, that it's so important. So.
We do have so much uncertainty these days, and a lot of people at home they're stressed, whether it's just juggling their child's lives and a professional career, or they're an entrepreneur and they took on a financial risk to start a business. Is this mindfulness thing, and I don't even mean to say mindfulness thing, I think that's a funny way of saying it, because I massively endorse everything you teach. Is it for everyone? What if I feel like I don't have time for this? I'm stressed and I don't have time to try this mindfulness thing. I have this weird attitude towards it. What are your thoughts on someone who might feel that way?
Right. So I would suggest setting a morning intention. A morning intention is when you wake up, you know, just with everything else, you're brushing your hair, you're taking a shower, you're brushing your teeth, you're eating your breakfast. Take 30 seconds to 60 seconds, a moment. Close your eyes, take a deep breath in. My intention today is bliss. I mean, whatever, right? And then that's it. That's your mindfulness. Could you imagine starting the day with saying, my intention today is to experience bliss? In fact, I don't know that I've ever done that, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Sounds really good, you know? And so it's all mindset. It's all mindset. And just that simple word starting your day, or today I start with gratitude. Today I say thank you to everyone and everything, whether you literally say it or in your mind, in your heart, you're saying it.
And wow, that takes how long? 5 seconds to set that intention? That's great for a busy person. I'm curious, throughout the day, should I be revisiting that intention? Should I be doing check-ins? How do I make sure that I'm being mindful and that I'm actually living that intention that I set?
Yeah. And so that depends on who you are and what your lifestyle is, what your personality style is. You know, if you're the kind of person, or if you're, you know, if you tend to gravitate toward your phone, your smartphone, write it on a note, write it on your calendar. Or if you sit at your desk, put a sticky note, right? You know, I've got a sticky note right here on my laptop that reminds me of things. Put it on your wall. Make it a design if you really like it. You know, some people have fun things like love and home. And why not bliss? Why not gratitude? So the answer is yes, absolutely. You want to repeat that. I like to call these intentions mantras. A mantra is something you repeat. It's very similar to an affirmation. It's something positive that reminds you, oh yeah, actually this is what it's all about. It's not about that crisis or that deadline or that roadblock, you know, whether it's a literal roadblock on the highway or, you know, something between you and your next step. It's the feeling. How are you feeling? Are you going with the flow? Are you pushing too hard? Do you have a headache? Are you like breathing?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, sometimes people will take a sticky note and they'll put it in their car if they have a really powerful phrase or an intention. And that can be your week. You just focus on that one word or the one phrase. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny because you and I talked about this before we clicked record, but I do keep questions on both sides of me just in case, you know, I need to cue something up, but I hardly ever use it. And then I ended up putting on this document on the side here, the words be present, because I started to realize that when I'm looking to cue up a question, if I'm just present, the question will sort of just come to me based on what you're saying. And that's why that came to me right now, because this is literally just having a note next to me to remind me to be present does wonders. And a lot of people still, they're type A, or they're very driven and they've got millions of things. Like, they might find that this is like a really big struggle to be more present, to be more mindful, to affirm something and see through to make sure it comes true. And I'm wondering if you ever felt that way, or if you ever ran into any roadblocks yourself, or if you haven't, a client that maybe has. Do you have any examples of someone who really struggled through this, and, you know, what was done to get them out of it?
Struggled through
just the... just like it doesn't seem easy. Like it's, I feel stressed. I'm telling myself to be present and to go with the flow, but I'm just not going with the flow. I can't get out of my head.
Right.
Maybe I'm in at an event and I'm fidgety. I don't know who to talk to. Maybe I'm just really anxious. You know, scenarios like that where someone realizes that they need to be more mindful, but they're having a really hard time actually doing it. And it's making them even more stuck in their head because they acknowledge the issue and then they have the cognitive dissonance that they're not actually doing anything to fix the issue. This is something that I've went through, right? Is this something that's normal?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I like the phrase, cultivating inner peace to managing anxiety. So, and we mentioned this before. So the concept of meditation is silence, right? So if I were to sit here, or we were to sit here and we simply didn't talk and we were in silence, feelings might arise, anxiety, like what's happening? Something has to happen. Something has to happen, or I have to do so many things. I can't sit here and do nothing. And yet that doing nothing, that pause creates almost like a purifying effect, right? It clears all the thoughts, like all these thoughts, all these to-dos, all these wishes, all these goals, and lets them just settle. And I like to even use the...
I'm going to talk just so the camera goes on me. As you speak, It's like you're bringing the sunshine into my room and messing up the green screen. It's like, as you speak, you're like affirming, and then my green screen's like, oh my gosh. So if anyone's listening to the audio, you need to go watch the video version because what just happened was insane.
Yeah, I kind of have this effect.
You do. And I'll be honest, Alana, so I have no clue exactly where we left off because of that craziness, but really talking about something that happens to me all the time, that moment of stress, that moment of strain, that moment of anxiety where I'm struggling to be mindful, or I'm just anxious, and you were responding to that, and basically how someone like me and the listener can get better at managing some of those moments.
Okay. So I would like to imagine that if not all of us as human beings, the majority of us have some feelings of insecurity when we go out in public. Like, I think public speaking is one of the number one most terrifying thing for people to do.
Yes.
Because you're exposing yourself, right? You are exposing yourself, and that's dangerous because then if somebody doesn't like you, they can hurt you, et cetera. So I'm an introvert. I've learned how to communicate effectively. I've trained in it and I really love it. Come from an Italian family. So that was my first area of training. Okay. When I know I'm going out into a place that I may feel uncomfortable, I'll set an intention. I mean, that's another place where you can just take that moment for yourself. And as you said, it can be 5 seconds, just checking in, saying, okay, this may feel uncomfortable. So what can I do? How can I think to alleviate that? So one way it is answering those questions could simply be, well, you know what? Everyone else is feeling the same way. You're not alone. Because usually we feel like we're the only one who feels, you know, like a lost, I don't know, scared person.
Yeah. everyone around us has some of the similar concerns.
Yeah, everyone. Absolutely. The other thing is I've learned it, but I certainly teach it, is to imagine surrounding yourself with some type of protection, like a protective layer. And again, this This depends on who you are. That could be imagining you're just surrounding yourself with a big blanket and nobody can see it but you, and that's your protection. You may want to imagine you're putting on armor, and that's going to protect you. Sometimes people like to think of a bubble of energy, just a clear, translucent bubble surrounding you. So I like in those three examples, that tells you how much I love to use creative visualization and our imaginations. Just as your imagination is really what's creating the anxiety to begin with, because you don't know. You have no idea, really, right? So why not use that same imagination to empower and protect yourself, right? So it's not creating a wall between you and others. It's simply saying, okay, I'm going to surround myself with this type of armor that only I know, and therefore I can go out and I'll be fine. Does that make sense at all?
It does. I'm kind of imagining just pretending that I'm George Clooney, and
why not?
I can take on anything. I can handle anything. But no, I love that. You know, it's being present, imagining this thing around you. So what exactly does that do? What does that do? Like, how does it feel to imagine this? And do you just become more open, or?
You feel safe, right? You feel safe. And we all want to feel safe. And that's what I'm feeling more and more, or observing today, is this a sense of anxiety, a lack of safety because of uncertainty, right? And so we can take that same feeling of uncertainty into any given situation, even a business meeting or an interview like this, right? We don't know. Oh my God, what are you going to ask me, right? And then it's just saying, dropping that, because those are all, it's a story. All of it is a story. So it's staying true to yourself. Imagining that I am protected, then I can go to that dinner party, you know, with people I don't really know, and I can listen and do my best not to make a fool of myself, but still speak my truth. You know,
I'm connecting dots. Go on.
Okay. So you're not in a state of defense or offense. You're in a state of clarity of your true self, your true nature. Okay. I don't feel so comfortable right now. So I probably won't be, you know, chugging back beers, because I don't know these people. I don't drink beer, but I'm just saying.
Yes.
You know, so I'm going to be fully present, and I'm going to kind of feel the room. I'm going to see, how do these people feel? How do they talk? And then I'm going to do my best to be true to myself without making them to feel too uncomfortable, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're
flowing.
I kind of want to talk about that, flowing, that emotional intelligence, because we want to feel safe. We want to feel comfortable. We want to connect. A lot of this is internal, but then we're surrounded by people that are going through the same stressors with COVID that we are, and the same anxieties of public speaking, or maybe they're nervous in a room as well. And how do we start developing that emotional intelligence where we become one with ourselves, we feel safe? Now we have a bunch of other people that are bringing their anxieties to the table, or just their life to the table, different experiences. What's coming up for you in regards to just emotional intelligence, and how we can hone that and create a bridge for conversations?
Right. So to me, mindfulness is emotional intelligence.
Okay.
It really is. It's being mindful. It's being aware, right? So in that situation, you're at a table with six people, and you've prepared yourself in a way of, okay, I'm just going to protect myself. I'm going to stay true to myself. But I'm also going to have fun, right? Mm-hmm. I want to have fun at this, or what's the point, You know, it's that inner peace and outer joy, inner peace and outer joy. And it's about, it really is about connecting, right? If you're the only person on the mountain screaming, yay, nobody hears you. It's kind of sad and lonely. So it's finding the ways to communicate. And I want to step back because we're talking about type A personalities. I would say the majority of my clients are type A personalities, right? And they've realized they need to slow down somehow or else they're going to lose their health or their relationships or their position, et cetera, et cetera. And they're seeking an easier or a way of flowing, right? And I like to use ease and grace. How do I move through my life, through my profession, everything with ease and grace, right? And if you are a go-getter, that might seem impossible, but it is possible. It really is. And truly, I want to say it's a meditation practice. And even if it's for 1 minute every morning where you tune in, if you can turn that into 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever that is for you, and it's reflecting, it's clearing all the clutter because the clutter will come back. Your to-do list will never go away. It just, you know, you might actually, when you're able to sit in more clarity and balance, you'll be able to then prioritize the balls, and you may just decide, I don't want to juggle them and I'm going to drop them or delegate and not be in charge of control of as many things as you are. So giving yourself that gift to sit and do absolutely nothing, it's a gift to honor and treasure. And it may be sitting and looking outside of a window, gazing at a tree, looking at the sky, looking at the water. It may be closing your eyes and listening to ambient music. It may be staring at a wall in silence. There's so many different forms of meditation. It may be going for a walk in the woods. It may be a walk in the city. You know, meditation is about introspection. I guess that's it. It's really introspection. It's accepting everything. It's not about fixing anything, Ben. It's all about being fully aware with what's going on and how you choose to respond to it. Right?
It's not about fixing anything. I'm going back to your analogy with juggling all these balls. It's not like you take a ball and it disappears, but you can take the ball and you can put it aside of you and decide not to juggle it. So you didn't fix the ball. The ball didn't go away. You've just decided that I don't want to juggle this ball anymore.
Right.
But I didn't actually fix anything. I just accepted that I don't want to juggle this ball, so I'm just going to move away from this ball.
Yeah.
Now, anything else?
I had a client just the other day say, well, how do I change the way I do this? And I said, well, let's just look at that word change. Change suggests that something needs to be fixed. And you and I, each and every one of us, are absolutely fine. We are where we are because we were raised in an environment, whether it's people or geography, that has affected how we behave today. So it's not about change. It's about shifting. If there's something you don't like, you know, you don't like the way you feel in certain situations, well, how do I shift? How do I respond differently? It's not about changing who you are or who I am. I don't want to change. I want to be me. I mean, that's really what we want to do, is take off all the layers that have built us into this place and find that true authentic nature within and let her or him shine through.
I'm just letting this all settle in. It's this lands at a perfect time for the stress in workplace and COVID and all these concerns. My thought to myself, and you can correct me if you think this is bad advice, but let's say we're unhappy at work. We need to go within, figure out why we're unhappy and see if we can shift and have a different perspective. And then once we do that, if we find that we're miserable, maybe we need to go and find a new job. But it sounds like for me, I can't blame all these external circumstances. I can't blame COVID. I can't blame my boss. I mean, I can, but I shouldn't. I should go within, see how I feel, make a determination as to if I feel like I'm in a good spot. And then through empowerment, I can make then the next decision might just be transferring departments, or the next decision might be that it wasn't work that was the issue, it was my alcohol use that was the issue. Something else might come up. So yeah, I just challenge, I'm going to do this. I challenge people to try that, to look within. And what I'm personally going to probably do is just do a brain dump where I just write everything down.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done that in a while. This is me just kind of rambling, but I'm curious as your thoughts on this kind of stuff, Alana.
So accessing our true nature can be scary, right? Like we've built layers, not to be confused with the protective energetic layer we discussed earlier. That imaginary protection when you go out into public, but throughout every year of our life, whether you need to protect yourself from your big brother, big sister, who's always picking on you, or something else that's happened in your life, the traumas, the small, the big, right? We learn. So coming in touch with, I'm going to kind of segment off here a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
We're talking about being in our minds all the time, right? And our minds can really get confusing and cluttered because there's so much going on and so much uncertainty. But we want to get out of our heads and into our bodies, because our bodies are actually our best friends. Our bodies tell us and alert us all the time of what's happening, all the time. So if you have a headache, before you move into your day, check in. Oh my God, I have a headache. Because if you don't, you're going to have a miserable day and you're going to blame it on everything else and not realize that it's just because you woke up with a headache. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same is true. I think we were alluding to it. If you are in a public space, let's say a networking event, and you're talking to somebody and you just, I don't know, you get queasy, something doesn't feel right. It may not be that person, but that person reminds you of somebody else who may have hurt your feelings or done you wrong, right? And so, it's tuning in really to your body to give you the messages of how to better respond. And then with that knowledge, as you're talking to this person, then you can think to yourself, well, is it really, does this person really just remind me of the other person? Or is this person really just like the other person? And then you have that to continue and decide, inform your response, whether you want to develop a relationship, continue talking, do business with, or just move on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the key is that you're informing your response rather than just letting these weird subconscious things to manifest. You're actually making an informed response.
Yeah.
Taking like a check-in is how I see it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In a second, I want to go rapid fire. which is
okay.
Just quick, fill in the blank either or questions. But before I go rapid fire, because it's a complete change of pace, I'm just curious if there's anything that we didn't touch on that you think that would be a great addition to, you know, just the energy of this conversation.
Oh, early on, you asked me about me, and I gave you my early life. What I didn't share was that I'm from Rochester, and I came back to Rochester after living in New York, and I lived in a few other places in the world. And I discovered a beautiful talent in helping entrepreneurs. So I was the program director at Rochester's technology incubator. That was called High Tech Rochester. It has since evolved and changed and moved, but I was there for almost a decade, helped about 50 entrepreneurs either continue, grow, and spin out their companies or move out. So I tend to work a lot with creative thinkers, type A personalities, inventors, innovators like yourself. And because of my creative musical background, I help people to really get out of their heads and be more creative. So it's fun. I have a blast.
Yeah, and if that describes you, anyone listening, I say this at the end, but let's say it now as well. How does someone get in touch with you, Alana? Should I send you an email, give you a call, website? What's the best way to reach out if I'm that person?
Sure. An email would be great. I have a website. It's my name, alanacahoon.com. Can also be found under growtobeyou.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. So those three are my primary social medias. So iMessenger is a good way to reach me.
Yeah. We should clarify, it's not just for type A personalities.
No.
You've just worked with a lot in the past, really just anyone who wants to be more present, more mindful, more successful inside so they can be more successful externally as well, right? It works both ways, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not one or the other. Yeah.
So yeah. Rapid fire. It's like Family Feud, that it's quick answers. However, it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, that the points don't matter. They're completely subjective to Alana. So you can say whatever you'd like. And we will start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person?
No.
What keeps you up at night?
Worry. Oops.
We'll ask one more follow-up on that. What are you worried about? Or what do you focus on?
Oh, family, you know, making sure everybody's safe and on the right track and being taken care of.
So you're a protector.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite season?
Fall.
Well, longer answers. Books or podcasts or video series, but just where do you learn some of this stuff from? And maybe even just two examples, one for a beginner and then maybe one for someone on a higher level. Any literature or podcasts or anything you'd recommend?
Mm-hmm. I love books. See behind me.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I really like to do is combine the two. I love to find a book and then go online and find videos and podcasts to listen to. So John Kabat-Zinn is our American MBSR guru. That's mindfulness-based stress reduction. And it's really his work is beautiful and very, intellectually spoken. So it can take the whole idea of meditation and mindfulness in an intellectual route. I love the Dalai Lama, Tibetan Buddhism, absolutely love it. For me, it's just fun. It's about compassion and love and kind of everything we've been saying. Lama Sulcherm is a favorite. She's a female Lama, and she teaches wisdom for women and the feminine energy. So that's a lot of fun. And I think, you know, today, almost everyone, every one of these books, I can find a video online. So there's my answer to that.
Tell us about your book. I can see it in the corner there. You want to go grab that?
Sure. So this is Mindfulness, Mantras, and Meditations, 55 Inspirational Practices to Soothe Your Mind, Body, and Soul. I was on a meditation retreat in March of 2019. It was a 9-day retreat at Kripalu, which is a beautiful yoga health and wellness center just outside of New York in Massachusetts. And I think on day 4, the pandemic was announced. And in my group, people from Boston and New York City and Philadelphia and Rochester. Mm-hmm. And so you can only imagine how profound that meditation retreat became. And when we were the last retreat there, they shut down the whole center, which, you know, used to offer, I don't know, 200 programs a week or a month. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I came home and I started to clean, you know, the stressful, I'm going to clean, right? And so instead of cleaning closets, I decided to clean my desktop. And there I found 5 books I had started, you know, 5 balls, I guess I decided to set aside.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's now or never. So I took out the first book idea and I completed it. And that's what this is. And it's a lot of fun. It's creative. It has clearly meditations, really simple, easy ones that you can do in 5 minutes, or you can do them in 20 minutes. And then mantras, they're powerful statements you can take throughout the day, the week, the month, and some fun pictures. So yeah, that's what I did.
I love it. The simple exercises, again, maybe to start your day, a mantra to start your day. Is that on the website, alanakahun.com, or how do
it is? It's also on Amazon. So if you typed my name into Amazon, this book should come up. You can get a paperback or a Kindle version.
I'm going to do that. Let me actually just cast some possibility here. The first 3 people to message me with a big takeaway and they want the book, but maybe they don't know if they're going to buy it. Maybe they don't have the money. I will buy the book for you. For the first 3 people to send me a private message, give me a takeaway, I'll purchase the book. I'll get it myself. I find, Alana, it's sometimes going back to the basics. It's these simple exercises, even if it's just a couple minutes in the morning for my day to set that standard for the day. It goes a long way, right? It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, that is such a kind gesture. That's really sweet and it warms my heart. So thank you. There's the reading, it's the training, the learning, and then there's the doing, there's the being, really. What I want to say is there's the being. It's just practicing meditation and mindfulness allows you to be yourself, be in the world and see everything. It's amazing how much we miss, so much beauty, so much fun, so many opportunities that we miss because we're moving so quickly in our own heads.
Yeah. I think it's a perfect way to end it, Alana. Oh. AlanaKahun.com. I'll put the book, your website, everything in the show notes. And thanks again.
Thank you.
We're going to have to do a part 2 because this was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure and honor. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.